Welcome, welcome, welcome to all of you. It's the Sunday after Christmas, or maybe you might be watching this the Saturday afternoon after Christmas, and all of us are at home with our families. We hope that you're gathered together with your family and your friends as we celebrate Christmas time. God has blessed us all this year. But regardless of the blessings that we've had, no blessing has been greater than the gift of His Son and the difference that can make in your life as it has made in ours. And I pray that today you are thankful. With me today to raise thanks, closest to me right here, Jordan Ross and Marissa Rivera and Jason Laporte down on the end providing the music. And I'm going to give them a break and not help them out any. And interspersed between the music, I'll be doing some prayers and sharing some stories that are favorites of mine with you. So welcome, and we pray that God blesses your time with us. And we'll start out. Y'all are going to be singing Angels We've Heard on High. Let's do it. Blessings, and thank you all for that. I want to begin today with a prayer for the home. It was written by Henry Van Dyke over 100 years ago, but it seems so appropriate for this time and occasion. So let's pray. Father of all men, look upon our family gathered together before thee and grant us a true Christmas. With loving hearts, we bless thee for the gift of thy dear Son, Jesus Christ, for the peace he brings to human homes, for the goodwill he teaches to sinful men, for the glory of thy goodness shining in his face. With joyful voices we praise thee for his lowly birth and his rest in the manger, for his pure tenderness of his mother Mary, for the fatherly care that protected him, for the providence that saved the Holy Child to be the Savior of the world. With deep desire, we beseech thee, help us to keep his birthday truly. Help us to offer in his name our Christmas prayer. From the sickness of sin and the darkness of doubt, from selfish pleasures and sullen pains, from the frost of pride and the fever of envy, God, save us every one through the blessing of Jesus. In the health of purity and the calm of mutual trust, in the sharing of joy and the bearing of trouble, in the steady glow of love and the clear light of hope, God, keep us every one by the blessing of Jesus. In praying and praising, in giving and receiving, in eating and drinking, in singing and making merry, in parents' gladness and in children's mirth, in dear memories of those who have departed, in good comradeship with those who are here, in kind wishes for those who are far away, in patient waiting, sweet contentment, generous cheer, God bless us everyone with the blessing of Jesus. By remembering our kinship with all men, by well-wishing, friendly speaking, and kindly doing, by cheering the downcast and adding sunshine to daylight, by welcoming strangers, poor shepherds or wise men, by keeping the music of the angel's song in our hearts, God, help us everyone to share the blessing of Jesus, in whose name we keep Christmas and in whose words we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Room in your heart. I'll tell a Christmas story in a different way in a moment. Let's prepare ourselves for that.
Family hiding from the storm, found no place at the keeper's door. It was for this a child was born, to save a world so cold and hollow. Asleep in town they did not know, lying in a manger low, a Savior King who had no home has come to heal our sorrow. Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart for God to write his story? Shepherds counting sheep at night, do not fear the glory and light. You are precious in his sight. God has come to raise the lowly. Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart for God to write his story? You can come as you are, but it may set you apart when you make room in your heart and trade your dreams for his glory. Make room in your heart. Make room in your heart. Thank you. Father holds the promise tight. Every wrong will be made right. The road is straight, the burden's light. For in His hands He holds tomorrow. Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart for God to write His story? You can come as you are, but it may set you apart when you make room in your heart and trade your dreams for His glory. Make room in your heart.
Continue with a pondering written from the perspective of the innkeeper years later, and a traveler. The traveler's lip curled with contempt as he looked at the shabby old tumble-down inn. Long cracks disfigured the damp-stained walls, and the gated archway leaned threateningly. The courtyard beyond was littered with the discarded rubbish of many travelers, and two or three lean dogs nosed round in the dejected fashion as they had little hope of any rewards for their labor. There was no other sign of life about the place, except the mournful cooing of the doves up in the eaves. In answer to the traveler's call, an old man hobbled out who appeared almost as ancient as the inn itself. Is there no other inn in the area? By the hair of my head, if the day were not so far spent, I would press on to Jerusalem even now. The old innkeeper held up a detaining hand and bowed himself till his old bones cracked. This inn is not so poor, O man of great mercies. Many honorable men have rested here, and strange things have happened here. Had these walls had eyes that they could see and mouths that they could speak, they could tell many tales. I believe it, the traveler's face wrinkled grimly, tales of idleness and robbery. Not so, my lord, not so, but tales of things which will make this old world a better place because of things that happened in this inn, and the end of the tale is not yet. Come, O grandfather of rivers of words, and take my horse and care for him and prepare me a meal. Then while you wait upon me, you shall tell me the rest of the story. Presently, while the traveler reclined beside the meagerly spread table, old Nathan sat cross-legged upon the ground and told a story. The flickering light of the fire made deep shadows in his hollow cheeks and played upon his thin hands and bony arms as he moved them to and fro. He pulled his old brown cloth about his stooped shoulders, looked up at his guest to make sure that he was listening, and then began the tale that he had told again and again until it had grown as familiar as a child's oft-repeated lesson. It was in the days when the census was taken by Caesar Augustus, he began. All the roads were crowded with people going to their own cities, and the inn was full of folks. Oh, those were the days when innkeepers grew rich as fast as grass grows in the springtime rains. And that day, a great man of Rome had come to the inn, his honor Marcus Publius. He came with his servants and his horses and his guards and his scribes, and they filled the place. The inn was no longer my own. They called me here and there as though they had bought me for the price of a pair of sandals in the market. Why, had I had a score of arms and a dozen pair of legs, I could not have done a tithe of the things they commanded me to do. The old man panted, and sighed at the memory of it as he lived that bustling night all over again. And all the time, still more travelers were coming and asking if they might stay here for the night. What could I do but send them on to the next village, even though I knew the inn there would be as full as my own inn was? Why, I could have filled my lap with the silver I turned away from my door that night. Yet, there was one who came whom I would not have turned away for all the silver in the world. And until my feet go down to the valley of the shadow of death, I shall sorrow night and day that I did not have the best room in the inn. But I was a poor man and busy, and how should I know? They were poor folk. A man who might have been a carpenter or a potter, a man of middle age. And he had his wife with him, sitting doubled upon a donkey. I had no time to spend with them, for a dozen Roman voices called me hither and thither. So I told them I had no room for them or for anyone else who might come. But the man laid a strong hand upon my arm and drew me back and told me that his wife was ill and not able to travel farther. His plea made me angry, and I told him that many folks who were ill and tired would have to sleep beneath the stars that night. Can I make more rooms arise by striking my staff upon the ground? I asked him. The old man paused in his tale. It is strange. I'm old, and old men forget. But all that was said and done that night is as clear as if it had happened yesterday. I bade him come to the gateway, he resumed, that he might see for himself. There was no room for as much as a goat to lie down. But something made me turn around, and I looked into the face of the young woman on the donkey. And something about her made me remember my Esther, who is still the flower of my heart, even though she's been dead many years. And for Esther's sake, and for the sake of something written in the woman's face, I'd led them to a little cave below the hill that was sometimes used as a stable. It was a poor place, but it was far better than the cold ground with only the stars above for a roof. If only I'd known, I would have given them the best room in the inn. But they were poor folk, and how was I to know? The traveler filled his wine cup again and looked curiously at his host. He wondered what the end of the strange tale would be. I hung a lantern on a hook in the wall and brought a couple of bundles of straw on which he could lie down. And because the night was so chilly, I hung an old tent cloth across the mouth of the cave. They were poor folk, and I know not why I did so much for them. But the look in her eyes was like my Esther's look in the moonlight. That was my great reward. Darkness fell, and no more travelers came. And at last the Romans ceased their drinking and gaming and fell asleep. Before the night was old, Joseph came to tell me that her child was born. I went out with them to see that all was well. And as we went, the whole sky was filled with light. Light that moved and shone like the waving of angels' wings. And there was a distant sound of music, such music I'd never heard. Even then, as we watched the light fade out and the star shine through again, I did not think it had anything to do with the baby who had been born in the stable cave. Still, all that had passed disturbed me so much that I could not sleep. And soon a loud knocking came to the gate, and I saw Black Dan the shepherd and Nimrod and two others whose names I never knew. I saw them standing there in the lantern light. Before I could ask them what they needed, they asked me about the child and told a tale that the light we had seen in the sky was a multitude of the heavenly host, and the music we had heard was the singing of their choirs and the angels. The angels had sung of one who was born to be the Savior of all mankind, one whom they would find wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. I took them to the stable and knelt even as they did. and bowed my head before the baby who lay asleep in his mother's arms. An old man of clear vision, had you been there, something would have spoken in your heart, even as it did in mine, telling you that everything the shepherd said was true. They went away the next day, the father, the mother, and the child. I'm an old man. My eyes are dim. My days are few. I shall not see it. But thou, O man, whose days shall be many in the land, thou shalt see the day when that child shall be the Savior of the world. This thing is written in my heart. The old man paused and bowed his head for a long moment or two. And may it be, he resumed, that men will come to this inn and kneel in the stable where I knelt for the sake of the child who was born there. But if I'd known, yet how was I to know? I was a poor man, and they were poor folks, and there was his honor, Marcus Publius, and all the rest. Without waiting for comment or reply, the old man rose to his feet with groans of complaint and shuffled away. And the traveler wrapped himself in his cloak and lay down to rest. But his dreams were of angel songs, and light-filled skies, and of one who would save his people, even such as he, from all their sins.
Love incarnate, love divine, star and angels gave the sign, bow to babe on bended knee, the Savior of humanity. Unto us a child is born, shall reign forevermore. Noel, Noel, come and see what God has done. Noel, Noel, the story. God and Son of Man, there before the world began, born to suffer, born to save, born to raise us from the grave, Christ the everlasting reign forevermore. Noel, Noel, come and see what God has done. Noel, Noel, story of amazing love.
at Christmas, people everywhere ponder anew the greatest miracle ever known. But miracles come in all shapes and sizes, don't they? It happened to the very young pastor of a very old church. Once long ago, the church had flourished. Famous men had preached from its pulpit and prayed before its altar. Rich and poor alike had worshipped there and built it beautifully. Now the good days had passed for the section of town where it stood. But the pastor and his young wife believed that with hard work and lots of faith, they could get the old church back in shape. So together, they went to work. But late in December, a severe storm whipped through the river valley, causing a huge chunk of a rain-soaked plaster to fall out of the inside wall just behind the altar. Sorrowfully, the wife and his pastor swept away the mess, but they couldn't hide the ragged hole. That afternoon, the dispirited couple attended an auction held for the benefit of a local youth group. The auctioneer opened a box and took out of its folds a gloriously beautiful, very ornately sewn gold and ivory lace tablecloth. It was a magnificent item, nearly 15 feet long. But it, too, dated from a vanished era. Who today had any use for such a thing? There were a few half-hearted bids. Then the pastor was seized with what he thought was a great idea, and he bid in the cloth for $6.50. He carried the glorious gold and ivory lace cloth back to the church and very carefully put it up on the wall behind the altar. It completely hid the hole. And the extraordinary beauty of its shimmering handiwork cast a fine holiday glow over the whole chancel. With Christmas just 2 days away, he happily went back to preparing his sermon. Just before noon on Christmas Eve, the pastor was opening the church. He noticed a woman standing in the cold at the bus stop. "The bus won't be here for 40 minutes, he called, and he invited her into the church to get warm. She told him that she had come from the city that morning to be interviewed for a job as governess to the children of one of the wealthy families in the area, but she had been turned down. A Jewish war refugee, her English was imperfect. The woman sat down in a pew, rubbed her hands together, and rested. After a while, she dropped her head and prayed. In time, she looked up and saw the great gold and ivory cloth. She suddenly rose and walked up the steps of the chancel. She looked at the beautiful tablecloth with remembering eyes. She took up a fold of the cloth and lovingly rubbed it between her fingers. As she did, tears welled in her eyes. But they were happy tears of recognition. "It's mine," she said. "It's my banquet cloth." She lifted up the corner and showed the surprised pastor her monogrammed initials inside. "My husband had this cloth made especially for me in Brussels. There could not be another like it." For the next few minutes, the woman and the pastor talked excitedly together. She explained that she was Viennese, that being Jews, she and her husband wanted to flee from the Nazis. They were advised to go separately, so her husband put her on a train for Switzerland. They planned for him to join her as soon as he could arrange to ship their household goods across the border. She never saw him again. Later, she heard that he had died in a concentration camp. "I've always felt that it was my fault to leave without him," she said. "Perhaps these years of wandering have been my punishment." The pastor tried to comfort her and urged her to take the beautiful cloth with her, but she refused. She refused, saying, no, the cloth has found its way to you. You need it. It has a purpose here. I want you to have it. I'm happy knowing you have it." She gazed lovingly up at the magnificent gold and ivory lace cloth, then quietly went away. As the church began to fill on Christmas Eve, it was clear that the magnificent cloth was going to be a great success. Because it had been skillfully designed to look its best by candlelight, it cast lovely fine designs on the walls and ceilings of the church. Everyone looked around in wonderment, and a tranquil ambiance was cast over all. After the service, the pastor stood at the doorway. Many people told him that the church looked more beautiful than ever before. From the generous donations that were given, a few days later, the pastor had the local jeweler, who was also a clock and watch repairman, come to repair the church chimes. Upon entering the church, the repairman's gentle, middle-aged face drew into a look of great astonishment. As if in a trance, he walked right up to the beautiful gold cloth and looked intently. "It is strange," he said in a soft accent. "Many years ago, my wife, God rest her soul, my wife and I owned such a cloth. My wife put it on the table for holidays and when the rabbi came to dinner." The pastor suddenly became very excited. He told the jeweler about the woman who had been in church to get warm, saw the cloth, and recognized it to be hers. The startled jeweler clutched the pastor's arm. "Can it be?" he said through desperate tears. Together, the two got in touch with the family who had interviewed the woman for the governor's position, got her address, and then they both drove to the city. The jeweler knocked on the heavy, weathered door. As it opened, there stood his beloved wife. The many years of separation were immediately washed away by their blissful tears as they held each other in loving embraces, never to be parted again. Dear ones, I suspect that some of you during this year of 2020 have had a hole knocked in your dreams. I pray that you would have enough faith to creatively hang on to that brilliant lace cloth that God has provided for you and hang it over that temporary mar. And then watch for a miracle to happen.
All creation groans, fallen world in darkness, frozen like a stone, but light is breaking in a stable for a throne, and he shall reign forevermore, forevermore, and he shall reign forevermore. Kings and Lord of lords, and he shall reign forevermore, forevermore. If I were a wise man, I would travel far. If I were a shepherd, I would do my part. For as I am, I will give to him my heart, and he shall reign forevermore, forevermore, and he shall reign forevermore, forevermore. Unto us a child is born, King of kings. Of eternal years, Christ.
shall reign forevermore, forevermore. He shall reign forevermore, forevermore. He shall reign forevermore, forevermore. Unto us a child is born, King of kings and Lord of lords, and he shall reign forevermore.
Let's pray. Almighty and ever-living God, you've given us a new revelation of your loving providence in the coming of your Son, Jesus Christ, to be born of the Virgin Mary. Grant that as he shared our mortality, so we may share his eternity in the glory of your kingdom, where he lives and reigns forever and ever. Amen. O God, our Creator, to restore our fallen race, you spoke the effectual word, and the eternal word became flesh in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Mercifully grant that as he humbled himself to be clothed with our humanity, so we may be found worthy in him to be clothed with his divinity, who lives and reigns forever and ever. Amen. Almighty God, you have poured upon us the new light of your incarnate word. Grant that this light, kindled in our hearts, may shine forth in our lives through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. May Almighty God, who sent forth his Son to be with you, bless you in this holy season. Take away the darkness of sin and brighten your hearts with the light of his holiness. May God, who sent his angels to proclaim the good news of Jesus' birth, fill you with joy and make you messengers of the gospel. May God, who joined heaven to earth at the birth of Jesus, give you his peace and favor. And the blessings of God Almighty, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you forever. Amen.
Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy.
Thank you all so much for sharing your gifts. Bless you. From all of us here, know that God loves you and we love you too. Merry Christmas.